Hi everyone, Sandman here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Dr. B. Real, the author of the two-volume book called Surviving Fourth Wave Feminism. In this video, I'm covering the sixth chapter in his first book, which is titled Delinking Accountability from Responsibility. Dr. B, the B stands for Bob, says that guys are taught to take responsibility from a young age. But women aren't taught to take responsibility, instead they're taught that gender is a social construct. Of course, women always complain. They are tapping into men's urge to provide and protect for them. They want the simps and the cucks to put pressure on the government to give women more. Women are the victims when it suits them, but being a woman is a social construct when it suits them as well. Bob discusses the gender pay gap, which has been discussed to death. Arguing about who makes how much for what job is pointless at this point, even if it were real. The only ones that get ahead in our society are the asset owners these days. Most of them are now in the top few percentage points. But why are males held accountable while women aren't? Clearly it's just projection. Women claiming that men are privileged and that women are marginalized is just women accusing men of the same things that they themselves are guilty of, before men figure it out and hold women accountable instead. Bob says that women acting like victims is good for them, because they receive, and I quote, a life of reassurance, safe spaces, concessions, positive discrimination quotas, elevation, glorification, and a seemingly bottomless pit of cash from the daddy state. And it's done wonders to hide her from the realities of risk versus reward, or a poor outcome for poor choices, unquote. Bob even says that politicians like Obama took advantage of this by telling men to step up as fathers, and put all the blame for the epidemic of single parenthood on men, while women are the ones that have the ultimate say about if the child is born or not. Since women make up the majority of voters, Obama was just smart and pandering to females. I put a link in the description so you can get a copy of his book. I'll discuss more about this chapter in just a moment, but let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, The MGTOW's Guide to Retiring on 200K in Southeast Asia. Luca Vendetti is the author. He left the West taking his savings with him and achieving his goal of retirement at the age of 33. The book shows you how you can easily do the same and easily create a passive monthly income covering your expenses in Southeast Asia. It's a great book for someone like Vention MGTOW. Instead of heading to Asia and feeling overwhelmed, he could have read this and known a little bit more about what he was getting himself into. Maybe you as a man were meant to be drinking dirty martinis on the beach, taking Polaroids of ladyboys, if that's what you're into. What have you actually got to lose except your slavery to the corporate veal fattening pens? Visit MGTOWbooks.com and use the promo code SANDMAN to get 10% off. Now available in four formats: PDF, MOBI for Kindle, EPUB, and text-to-speech MP3. Anyways, now back to women blaming men for everything while claiming that being a man is a social construct, clown world show. Bob continues to say that fourth wave feminism wants to destroy democracy and replace it with socialist dictatorships, which will eventually take away every right and privilege it's achieved, including feminism itself. There's that pesky cognitive dissonance I spoke about before when it comes to women. They do things that are seemingly in their best interest in the short run, but in the long run they tend to destroy themselves. Bob is wise bringing that up. He also shares a choice versus accountability checklist, with things such as women choosing to get into debt, but not take accountability to pay it back, or women choosing useless degrees, and then not taking accountability after they're only employable as baristas. That women choose to earn money but expect the government to bail them out when they don't invest it properly. And so on and so on. Bob uses the example of Serena Williams abusing a male umpire in tennis, calling him a sexist as she loses to a smaller woman. Sure, he might be sexist if he awarded the point to a man, but it was a competition between two women. If Serena had more brain cells to rub together, she would have called him a racist instead of sexist. Then again, I've heard secret rumors about Serena's gender, so maybe the umpire was being sexist after all. Bob says that Western women feel entitled because of their imaginary oppression. So why do they get away with it most of the time? It's simple. They're taking advantage of the male urge to provide and protect women. They say women are suffering, and we want more. Then women get what they want, and then they come back again and say, women are suffering again. More, more, more. This is how countries and civilizations go bankrupt, because women hijack the simp instinct and bleed civilizations dry. Bob also says this, and I quote, never in the recorded history of any civilization in any country or any period have we seen the number of handouts, concessions, safe spaces, legal and social biases, political dominance, illustrious quotas, and social welfare served to one group of people over another, as we do for today's Western woman, unquote. The Roman Empire was bad with feminist-like entitlements towards the end. Female power usually comes towards the end of an empire or civilization. Women are short-term feelers instead of long-term thinkers, and they will be shocked when governments go bust and demand more money, which will be printed and handed out to women until it becomes worthless. I plan on being long gone with crypto when that happens, but I digress. Bob makes some great points about how women wanted the right to vote, but not the accountability of being drafted or conscription. Well, that recently changed in the United States. But conveniently, the United States doesn't seem to be involved in any wars right now. He also mentions that women complain about gender imbalances in favor of men, at various jobs. But once the balance tips the other way, and 60 or 70% of the office is female workers, then women look for some other excuse to take power. Basically, Bob is describing women as Darth Vaders with boobs, more like Darth Vulvas. And the deal between men and women is getting worse all the time. MGTOW is men saying screw the deal and going all Lando Calrissian on them. Bob makes a great point when he says, now that women have corrected the imbalances in education and the workforce, and have booted out oppressive males, now they're going back in time targeting historic male figures as an excuse for still failing to get what they want, which again is always more. The women are confused and they don't know what to do because they put women in human resources positions and jobs, and then those women are still more likely to hire men. So I guess those women are said to have internalized misogyny. It's like what we saw with the recall election with Gruesome Newsom in California. The black man running against him was said to be the blackface of the white supremacy movement. White males are to blame when black males run for parliament, for the wrong party, that is. Men are still to blame when women hire men instead of women. We seem to keep going deeper and deeper into clown world all the time. Bob also shares a lot of interesting stats from Australia to prove his points. Or is it New Zealand? I can't exactly remember. Proving that women only push for equality in white-collar jobs instead of the blue-collar ones. It comes down to women demanding full pay while choosing not to work. He also points out that in second wave feminism, women were like Rosie the Riveter, trying to prove that they could work in factories the way the men do. But in fourth wave feminism, feminist workers walk off the job in protest instead of trying to prove men wrong. Now women want equality of outcomes in the workplace without the equality of efforts. Then Bob shares the most important chart, which I believe is from New Zealand, which shows the cumulative net fiscal impact women have per capita in their lifetimes. Men contribute and women take. They live off of social welfare. When women like AOC say tax the rich, what they're forgetting to mention is they want those taxes for themselves. Even when they're rich, they can never be rich enough or not be oppressed. Bob also shares this awesome comic from RealSexism.com, showing female cognitive dissonance in action. The woman looks frustrated in the last frame because the man doesn't understand her nonsensical point. She's also seeing the woman as the victim, even when she's not. Even when women get 70 or 80% of the money in society, it's still never enough for them. In the end, you can't sustain a civilization around women's insatiable desire to consume without limits. Bob gets that when he says this, and I quote, "The gender pay gap is not only a myth, but it's also a smokescreen to hide the net fiscal contribution than men make to economies globally," unquote. It's projection. The next thing Bob brings up is the holy grail of thoughtery. He shares a story about a woman that died on her 10th or 11th childbirth, and that women in the past were afraid to have sex because giving birth would risk their lives. Contraception has eliminated that risk and made sure that they could have fear-free sex. But all the advantages of female reproductive science were created by men and their tax dollars. Males in the West have freed women, yet women still call us the oppressors. How ironic is that? They still expect us to pay, even though we created it. The last thing that Bob discusses in this chapter is a case study for the Trump-Clinton vote back in 2016. Both candidates were seemingly unwanted, and Hillary was pushing the agenda that the future is female, and this is why she was unwanted. I don't really know if I buy this because Trudeau in Canada was a male feminist, and he was re-elected the first time after everyone knew he had cognitive dissonance. He also fired his female attorney general because she accused him of wrongdoing. He also wore blackface a bunch of times. He projects to women that he has their cognitive dissonance and looks and speaks the way that women might if they imagine themselves if they were the ruler of a country. If Hillary was a good-looking man, she would have beat Trump. But I also get the funny feeling that Trump wasn't elected, but he was more like selected. because I heard a rumor that he's personal friends with George Soros, and this Soros actually bailed out his real estate empire. Trump was perfect because he divided the nation fully. Don't look at what he did, but instead look at what happened when he left. He provoked the left, and that just led to the acceleration of their agenda. Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell wanted to burn the White House down with Trump in it. Now that same hatred is being put on those anti-jabbers, who people say are Trump supporters secretly. In a way, if Hillary had won, most of our favorite YouTube channels would still be there, and the censorship never would have gotten this out of control. Trump was the man that was put there for leftist feminists to blame for all the bad things that were happening in their lives, and he filled that role perfectly. He paved the way for the pandemic authoritarianism that we see right now, because if he wasn't there, then the hatred people had for him would never be transferred to those anti-vaxxers. As for women, they don't seem to want to bring up the fact that they spend more tax money more than they earn. Instead, they focus on the fact that men earn more money than they do. They're cherry-picking the statistics, so they appear to be in their favor. As for Dr. B. Real, he really came into his own in this chapter. While much of this content I've seen before online, it was nice to see that New Zealand graph that I shared, as well as the photo of Serena Williams freaking out. I felt like the writing style was more in-depth and an improvement from the earlier ones in the book. I don't think anyone could have written 40 pages on women not taking accountability until I read this chapter. As men, we have to accept responsibility for our own lives and stop listening to women that project on us men, saying everything bad that ever happened to them is because what we men did. When in reality, isn't it usually the case that almost everything that bad happens to a man is because of a bad woman? They're just beating us to the punch. Men's Achilles heel that women take advantage of is that we feel sorry for them and want to help them, even when they make up that it's men that are making life hell for them. Also, the love blinds us from what they do to us, even when the fact is they're making life hell for us. Nature seems unusually cruel for the survival of our species. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Dr. B. Real for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that women smash society to pieces and then twist the truth and blame men for their own misdeeds. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized. And if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45. And I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills. And remember, a red pill a day keeps the women that want all the authority but none of the accountability away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.